It's been more than a week since Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen announced that Denmark will be closing down. We've all been affected by this decision. We fear and we worry, but as you probably noticed, we're also looking out for each other.
And that is what we'll be talking about today on this Tietgen podcast. Is it possible that situations like these can bring out the best in us?
Welcome to this Corona special podcast. It's with Bart and
Dan.
It's such a horrible like public health issue.
As I said, I'm Bart. I come from Slovenia. In Tietgen, I live at 18-2, which is known as the trash kitchen, as far as I know. I don't know why that's the case, because when I lived there, like, everything seemed pretty clean. But it definitely is one of the party kitchens, which I really like. I'm also one of the few international permanent residents here at Tietgen. I heard there's only about 7. But yeah, that's me.
The rest of us are exchange, that's why.
Exactly.
I'm Dan, I live in 10-1, which is often known as the cave, apparently, because we're so dark down in the bottom floor. Also known as the cellar, apparently. But I'm an exchange here. I study political science, so it's all very interesting watching all like the different politics involved in this virus situation, but it is very very interesting times we live in, and I think it's very interesting with the lockdown how the different kitchens have reacted and how the majority of things seem to be much more social than you agree, don't you?
Oh, definitely. I think that one of the things that I noticed was that people actually started hanging out more after the whole lockdown, because everyone was like, oh yeah, now we're home, we don't really have anything to do, so let's just like make the best of it and just watch movies together. I'm not sure if that's the most responsible thing to do, but you know, since we're all just like the same 12 people living together all the time,
yeah,
I think that it's kind of safe, like as long as we don't bring others into the dorm or like throw larger gatherings. I don't know.
Always wash your hands after you leave. That is the big thing.
Right.
We did a fun experiment where we went to Netto and we counted how many things we touched between like our door and Netto. Far more than you ever imagine. So, you know, always need to wash your hands.
Touching your face was one of the things that like I was super cautious about, and only found out after the fact how difficult it is to not touch your face.
Oh, and you do it all the time without realizing.
It's kind of insane. So what else did you notice about like people doing in the kitchen?
Well, we had one guy which was particularly keen about setting up a rota of activities to do in the kitchen. He's had this idea that we do TED Talks, so we take something we're passionate about and share it in the kitchen. He did his on beer, Malder. Hi, Malder. He did his on beer, and so he was explaining to us how, you know, he brews his own beer and all the process involved in that. So we're going to do a big group brewing, I think, at the end of this quarantine.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We haven't done that stuff.
We're acting as if we have nothing to do, but in reality, we still have all of our schoolwork to do, but we're just pretending like that doesn't exist.
Yeah, I think like the same kind of vibe is in my kitchen. Like everyone's, you know, we still have all our responsibilities and we still have work to do for school, but everyone's just like, oh, it's kind of like vacation. We don't really have anything to do.
Yeah, I got a message from my boss like, oh, Dan, you know, you're still meant to be working. I was like, yeah, forgot about that.
But yeah, basically we haven't done any brewing things. Like that would be super interesting. I'd be down to do that. Which kitchen do you say you live in?
10-1.
I'll check it out because I want that beer brewing kit again.
Yeah. It looks like it's some sort of like, it's crazy the amount of equipment he's got like hidden in his room.
Oh,
it's
like insane. Barrels and...
Yeah, barrels, you know, all these like thermometers and weird kind of like pressure things.
Crazy. That's pretty cool. I mean, in our kitchen, people have mainly just assembled Legos.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Dude just bought like the huge, like the biggest Lego piece I've ever seen is like Taj Mahal made of 6,000 pieces.
Oh my God.
Hi, Sophie. That's you.
How far have you got? Have you got like the main dinosaur?
I think they've got the foundations now. So
okay.
They have quite a long time to go. But yeah, it was pretty expensive as well. Kind of funny.
But yeah, we are kind of just finding random activities that we wouldn't have done otherwise, I feel. We're just trying to create like interesting things to take our minds off the situation outside. I feel like this is the kind of vibe we're going for anyway. It's trying to do things out of the ordinary to try and, you know, take our minds off
Everything
that's happening.
Definitely. And I also noticed like this whole, there's been a sort of trend around the dorm to like try to do stuff that sort of, you forget about the whole quarantine thing, and people have been throwing like different kind of activities. Like there was a workout I don't know if you guys joined.
Yeah, I did.
You did,
horrific.
Right.
Yeah. You probably saw me wandering around because I wasn't doing it properly.
But did you join the one in the dorm or outside?
The one outside. Right. The outside kind of workout thing?
Yeah.
Horrific.
It was tough. You should have joined.
It was, yeah. Like, not built for that kind of thing. I don't know why I chose the quarantine to decide to get fit. Like, that wasn't the best time, you know, but it was fine.
Probably not. We could also talk about, is there anyone in your kitchen who was or still was in quarantine?
There is currently one guy who had close contact with someone who might have been positive. He's still waiting to get a test because they're not testing everyone as frequently now as they were. So he's in quarantine, but he's doing good. He hasn't got any symptoms, but he's reluctant to leave his room. We don't know if it's just, you know, he's trying to tell us something that he doesn't like us, but he's still in there enjoying himself, getting food delivered, and, you know, he's doing well. I think we're all taking our turns looking after him, so it's...
Right. How long has he been in there now?
Probably just about a week.
Oh,
I think
Okay,
he quarantined himself just before Meta did her speech, so...
Oh, right, okay.
But you've got someone as well?
We've got a guy, and he actually felt symptoms. He still does. And he says it's not getting any better. Oh. Like, better. He's actually a medicine student himself, so I think, like, if he thinks it could be corona, then, you know, it's quite likely that it is. But we're not stressing about that.
No.
And we're FaceTiming a lot, and I think he's doing pretty well himself.
Mm-hmm.
Within, like, amongst us, the people that live there, we've handled it pretty well because we also have, like, the schedule to, like, make sure that he's got, like, he's received the food that he needs and, you know, the attention. Like, whenever someone goes out to shop, we always write in the group chat, like, do you need anything?
Yeah.
Which is super nice, like, to do. And funny thing, I've been in quarantine 2 days myself because I felt some kind of, like, I just felt a bit sick.
Mm.
So I said, like, it's probably better that I, you know, step away a little bit. And people have been super nice to me as well. Like, even though you're trapped inside a room, like, just the fact that you feel that everyone thinks about you and tries to get you food all the time is pretty nice.
Yeah.
But then, you know, of course, the instructions were that if you stop feeling symptoms, you can just move out. So that's what I did.
So you ventured back out into the world.
Exactly. Which was super nice. I don't know if I could have, like, lasted a week in there. Probably be very tough for me.
Oh, yeah. I have been being very careful because I know as soon as I have to be, like, stay in my room, I'm just going to go insane. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And it's because my door is right by the kitchen, I'll be able to hear everyone as well. I'll just be sat by the door just waiting.
That's what happened to me because, like, my door is right in front of the kitchen and, like, everyone was laughing, having dinner, and I was like, fuck. Damn. By the way, are we allowed to say cuss words on the podcast? Cool.
Well,
yeah.
We'll come up with some.
Emma's nodding, so we're good. Yeah. Right, so what were some of the positive things that you've experienced after the lockdown?
Definitely the kind of sense of community, because especially being so far away from family, it can be quite hard to have, like, the feeling of security. So having we'll be talking about this more later, but having just, like, a lot of friends around, like, it's very comforting to know that there's always people out there to listen and, like, talk to you. And great distractions, like the number of stories we've been sharing about, like, embarrassing things we've all done and stuff. Like, it's nice to feel kind of a part of a larger unit, like you do, like, in a family.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that because, like, it's kind of been the same vibe in my kitchen as well. People just throwing common events. And it's been super nice. I mean, yeah, apart from the fact that you can't really go anywhere, do stuff.
Yeah.
I think... being in Tegan is one of the best things that can happen to you during a lockdown.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Like, I am so thankful that I managed to get a room here. Like,
right.
I, like, could not imagine living in a studio during this time.
Right. Imagine, like, in an apartment with, like, another dude or something.
Yeah.
And that's it, right? You can't really hang out with anyone.
My colleague's with her boyfriend, like, in quarantine now, and she's saying it's tough, and I'm just... So I'm just saying to her, you know, like, you can call me if you need someone else to talk to.
It was funny because, like, actually today I just saw this Twitter post where, like, in Korea, I think right after the lockdown was over, 88 couples filed for divorce.
They sent that to me as well. My friends back home, they were like, this is, like, the true test.
So it's probably, like, a bigger test than going to IKEA together, I guess. Have you heard about that? That's a test.
Like, well, I think I would quite enjoy an IKEA trip. So I sadly haven't got anyone to go with, but, you know...
I mean, they say, like, going with your loved one is probably the biggest test you can put to your relationship. Because, like, then you just start fighting over
random shit. Who would ever thought you could have such strong opinions?
Exactly.
Lunch.
So have you joined any of the like workouts? You said you were joining one workout.
Yes, and... we did the workout. I unfortunately overslept and missed the yoga. Okay. I can't remember if it was in the morning or if it was just a very long nap I had, but I missed the virtual yoga.
Right.
Very sad about that. So I hope that another one will be done soon.
That was like streamed, right?
If I got it right. Yeah. Very cool. Sad about that.
Yeah. Too bad. Yeah. I don't know what else has been going on. I know there's been like a workout inside one of the kitchens as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was like meant for everyone, probably just for the kitchen, right?
Nikolai had his those chocolate Danish sweet things. He had bought loads of them as a little treat.
Oh, nice. Haven't heard about that. I know that, I don't know if it was 12-1 or 14-1. I know they had like a day drinking event.
Oh, probably.
On Saturday, which was, as I've heard, pretty fun.
We have to drink down there. We have nothing else to do in the summer.
Right. Is that, wait, so 12-1, that's like the darkest place at Tegan, right?
Yeah.
Also called the Mordor, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, everyone just says that 10-1 looks so depressing. So it's a nice thing to have. Just knowing that people are taking it seriously as well. It's like nice to see that everything's being cleaned and stuff.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And, you know, every time I eat something, I just wipe my plate with like alcohol and like make sure everything's okay. Yeah. But one thing I've noticed is like it's super clean in the kitchen now.
It's super, super clean.
I mean, that's one of the positive things about it, right? Because it could have been like super dirty like it was before. I mean, I don't know how it is in your kitchen, but like...
I mean, we're usually quite on top of things, but it was just things like just the sheer number of things that you touch in a kitchen. Like mine is blown at how many things you touch in a kitchen. So it's going around spraying everything, like the salt and pepper shakers, like make sure you clean them as well. Like those little things get missed. Like it's just all these little things that people are like sharing and touching. Like it's important to stay on top of that kind of thing.
Exactly. And it's just like, it's boom, it's nice. It's how I like it to be all the time.
Yeah, I never thought I was a germaphobe, but like post this, I'm like, no, everything's gonna be clean.
I was actually thinking about that because like when this whole thing is over, I will seriously be thinking about everything that I touch.
We said we're never playing beer pong again. Like, seems like such a horrible like public health issue.
Yeah, imagine that. Like balls are falling on the floor, and you just dip them in that dirty water and like play with that.
It's like we get a cup of water, we think we're safe, we're just dipping it in this water. It's not gonna do anything.
That's funny. Joining us in the podcast now is Maya from 10-5.
Yes.
Maya, as we heard, you just got out of quarantine. We're super happy for you to be out. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about the experience and like how did you end up in there?
Yes. So I ended up being in quarantine for about 6 days. And when I was first told to go into quarantine, it was the full 2 weeks. But as they changed the rules, I didn't stay the full time. So I was very happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it so that in the kitchen, I would get some times during the day where I could go out.
Oh, awesome. So you could roam around the kitchen. And...
Yeah. I was allowed to go out at 10 for half an hour and at 2 for half an hour.
Awesome.
That's a super nice deal.
Yeah, it was.
You got to see the inside of the circle as well as the outside.
Yeah, I did. And then I could like make my food and everybody would be in their rooms. But it was really weird because then everybody would go out of the kitchen. So I felt like really far away from the people that I used to see every day.
But did you like FaceTime a lot with your kitchen and stuff while you were in the
quarantine? Yeah, I did almost every day.
Oh, that's good.
And they called me like at night when they were all sitting in the kitchen eating. And then I would be eating at the same time. So it was really nice.
Did that help you feel like closer to them in that time?
Yeah, it did. Also, like they made a whole schedule for like who is on Maya duty because I couldn't be in there at like dinner time. So there would be a new person every day who had to include me in their dinner and then cook a meal for me and put it outside my door. So it made me feel really, really close to them.
That's super nice. Did you find anything like to kill time with? Like any activities that you've done on a daily basis? And what was it?
Tips for potential future quarantinis.
Yeah.
What do we do?
Well, at the beginning, I actually made like a really long list of things. I thought like now I'm going to be a whole new person kind of and workouts and stuff. But I felt like the days actually went by really fast because I spent so much of the day talking to people from Tietgen and also my friends from outside. But yeah, I did do some workouts on the floor, some yoga, and I don't know, watching a movie every night. Like, just, I think, kind of finding, what do you call it? Like, having some things that you do in the day.
Bit of a routine.
Yeah, a bit of a routine. So you feel like it's not just like, oh, I'm just going to lie here being on social media. But you actually feel like you have some things you have to do. That helps a lot.
Did you catch up on all the movies you said you'd watch and you never got around to?
I saw a bit of them. Yeah. Like, saw the list from, like, this is the best Netflix movies we have right now. And then, yeah, saw some of those.
Did you carry on working while you're in quarantine, or did you take time off work?
I work in the airport, so I can't work.
No, of course.
And they close down, so I have no work. But I do study still. A little bit.
Right, so you sort of still have like one source of income and not totally screwed by all this.
Yeah.
That's nice to hear. So if, apart from the hours that you've had to walk out of the kitchen every now and then, and the FaceTime, did you feel like you were, you know, sort of pushed away from the activities that were going on in the kitchen or at all? Or did you get any FOMO?
I got a lot of FOMO. I think, like, in general from Tietgen, we're very, like, used to being like a unity, kind of very close. And here the best thing you can do is really to be alone. And I think that still counts, that you shouldn't be too close and you shouldn't, like, be too many people together. But I think that's just really hard as a human to do. And I felt like in my kitchen that they would be sitting out there and talking about, like, the status of the world, and I was just sitting in my room, and it made me feel so excluded from the life here. But I also felt like it was for a really good cause. Like, I don't want anybody to get sick at Tietgen. So even though I didn't know if I was sick or not, it was just like, yeah, I don't want to make people sick.
What advice would you have for other kitchens to maybe make that better for their quarantine people?
I think for, if you're a kitchen where someone is in quarantine, it's really nice when people put down small notes, or people would write small cards for me and put out some chocolate and some snacks and then just knock at my door and leave. Or when I came out to the kitchen, there would be like a heart of chocolates lying for me, or a text like, hope you have a good morning. Just something like that. So you it makes you feel like, oh, there are some people here who thinks of me.
Yeah, they haven't forgotten you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I think that's a really good piece of advice. We actually have a guy in quarantine in our kitchen as well, so I'm going to take you up on that. Implement some of those things.
Yeah, we always make sure there's like a cake or a chocolate on his food rations in ours as well.
You definitely don't miss snacks when you're in quarantine. No,
you just get overloaded. How did that work out with your workout plan? Like, did you factor in all the snacks? Or
Yeah, I think I in these days I don't really care. I'm just like, get a lot of snacks.
What was the first thing you did when you got out?
Well, they played like the freedom song for me. And then they made a whole brunch, so we just had breakfast together, and I think I went for a really long walk in Amafelle with a girl from my kitchen, so yeah, that was really nice.
That's good to hear. So like, it was a really big welcome they threw for you.
It was.
Was it a bit of a surprise that the day that you were gonna be let out, because the information changed, or?
I was actually told that I was allowed to come out on Saturday, but because I had been like having a headache, I thought I don't want to do that. Like, if I had that on Friday, so I thought, okay, I'm gonna stay the 48 hours that they say to health people now. I was allowed to go out, but I just thought, I don't want to take any chances.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, so I just told my kitchen, Monday, if everything goes well, I'll be out.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a good way to think about it.
Yes. And I think it also makes, like, because it changes all the time, you don't know, like, for how long you're going to stay here. I think that helps in quarantine a lot, because in the beginning, when I thought it was the full 2 weeks, I was just like, how am I going to do this? But as things change and you actually get used to being, having your life that way, it's not that long.
Okay. And like you said, days go by pretty fast, right?
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you for coming.
Glad you're able to roam again.
Yes, I'm free.
We are now joined by Eunice, who is a member of the task force. Welcome.
Thank you.
So the task force was thrown together quite quickly in response to the kind of quickly evolving situation. How did you get involved with being part of it?
Oh, yeah, we had two from our kitchen who was at the Friday bar party at the Faculty of Medicine. And then I called the authorities to get guidelines for them. And then I just wanted to pass the information on to Nikolai. So I called him to inform him. And that just escalated to becoming a part of it. So it wasn't actually actively volunteering for it. It was just by coincidence.
Mm-hmm. And you being medicine students, it was a natural step for you guys to like step together and become this task force?
No, not really. It's more of a coincidence, partly. Because we also have Jo, who's not a medical student, but his work is still really good and really important. None of us are doing this because we have any knowledge or expertise within the field. It's more we wanted to help out and volunteer, and perhaps like pandemics and medicine have a common field of interest, and that may be the reason for why we are so many medical students, but otherwise it's a coincidence.
Yeah. Is there a typical day as a member of the task force, or is it quite varied?
But the typical day is or has been that we wake up, we look at the news, find out there will be new information that we have to pass out. We talk to each other, write it down, pass it out, and then we get new news that what we just wrote has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically most of it. And then the first few days was just running to all kitchens, talking with everybody all night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Has there been any like situations that put your team to the test in the past few weeks or?
Yeah, we actually had one big case. There were different messages out from the authorities regarding the people who was in the Friday bar quarantine, that if they were people who had an active duty within the healthcare system, then they could get out if they had been symptom-free for 48 days. But some of our neighbors interpreted that it also counts for them, even though they don't have an active duty.
Mm-hmm. Was that 48 days or 48 hours?
48 hours, sorry. Uh-huh. Yeah. So they just went out, and that was chaos for a moment. But apparently it was not only at Tikken that the chaos had spread, but all over Copenhagen with the people from the party bar. So the authorities gave out a new guideline saying, okay, fair enough, you already went out, stay out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the positive things about being part of the task force. Does that bring any joy to you in any way, like being a medical student again? Does that sort of go together with your interests or?
Of course, to some extent, I think subconsciously, like it's nice to be a part of it, but it's more of the love for the community and just wanting to be altruistic and helping out and helping not only Tikken, but the society as a whole to get past this. And of course, ensuring that Tikken contributes as much positivity to society instead of negativity.
Mm. So being a member of the task force, do you feel like you're in more danger than other people, and how do you cope with that?
So as in anything with emergency response, the first rule is make sure you're safe yourself before you help others. And not that it is directly translatable to the task force, but as a rule of thumb, we wouldn't be doing any of what we're doing if we were putting ourselves at or any resident at Tikken at risk. So I feel quite safe.
Mm-hmm. That is good to hear. And do you feel like that's sort of the common feelings in the task force itself?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, what has been kind of like the biggest surprise of being part of this task force?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it has been the responses.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were quite afraid that people wouldn't receive it well. Because we're not an authority, we don't try to be one, and we are clearly saying we have no legal right to do anything, we can just come with the recommendations.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's very good that you have put in all your messages, kind of like the reasons why you're asking people to do these sort of things, and was that a conscious effort by the task force?
Yeah, and in line with that, we early on agreed that we will only carry on messages that was confirmed by the authorities and never come up with anything by ourselves. And even to the extent that things are really Titkin specific, we try to call the authorities and try to tell them, like, this is how Titkin is, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Or we go to the administration and talk it through with them. It's never something where we try to be the experts or anything.
Right, so basically you're just conveying the messages.
Yes.
Right. But so like right now you have a chance, like a lot of Titkiners are listening to you. Is there like, how would you comment on people's behavior right now? Do you think they're doing good, or is there anything you think people should change?
So in general, Titkin is doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we also know this because we've heard rumors from other dorms, and we're doing surprisingly well.
Do you find like the task force is taking up a lot of your time? Or are things, is your kind of personal life on hold at the moment, or are you managing to achieve both?
Not anymore, but the first 2 or 3 days, it was rough. It was
mm-hmm.
not much sleep. Yeah, and I think that goes for the rest as well, especially Nikolai.
Mm. Yeah, but you are all kind of giving up so much just to make sure that we're all very safe. So we are all very thankful for you to make these sacrifices.
Now that sounds... I don't know how to respond to that, to be honest, but I think it has normalized more now, and it's primarily Nikolai dragging the load now,
mm-hmm.
And we're of course trying to help him out.
Yeah, well, it's very commendable what you're doing, very helpful to making sure we're all safe and happy in this turbulent time.
Well, it's our pleasure.
Amazing job, thank you so much. This has been the Titkin Corona special. We've enjoyed it really much. This was also the first episode ever to be in English.
Yes, wow.
We hope you guys liked it.
I understood.
Of course. We believe it's much more inclusive this way, but feedback on anything besides language is super welcome. We want to hear what you think about it.
Mm-hmm. Big thank you to Emma behind the scenes, organizing everything and editing it and getting it to you however you're listening.
Huge thanks to all the guests, Maya and Yunus.
Yes.
Amazing job.
And keep an eye out for future episodes, and like and subscribe and all that jazz.
There will be more very soon. Hopefully not about Corona.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.